The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, America. Welcome to this Monday edition of Furthermore with Amanda Head. I am honored that you have joined me today on this third week. This is the third week of episodes. Again, we put out episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I've had a lot of people message me on various platforms of social media asking me if this is eventually going to be a daily podcast. And yeah, I think at some point we're going to try to swing that, but we're just trying to get into a really strong rhythm and learn to do the basics well before we expand. That might be on the horizon somewhere in the future. But for today, in the immediacy, you know, there are a lot of issues that politically hang on both sides of the aisle. And you've got obviously very, very leftist states like California, and then some states like Ohio that may not necessarily seem really, really deep red, maroon red, but they are doing a lot of things really, really well. And their Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, is one of my favorite secretaries of state in the entire country. We have him on the TV show fairly often, and he has done some really, really wonderful things in Ohio. So we're going to have him on to talk about that and some of the other things that are happening in Ohio. And we're also going to have on Ted Nordblum, who is running for local or for state office here in California. And there are a lot of things that they are trying to do here in California that for some of you who live in comfortably red states, you might be thinking to yourself, that's happening over there in crazy California. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the land of fruit and nuts, as my dad calls it. Make no mistake, there are Democrats in your ruby red state who are trying to pluck some of these things that they are doing here in California and implant them right there in your state. So you got to pay attention no matter what, because look, like I always say, California is where bad policies are birthed. And then they spread across the nation, and you've got to be ready to combat those things. So we're going to talk to both of those men in just a few moments. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to Furthermore with Amanda Head. I am absolutely honored to have, I got to be honest, one of my favorite secretaries of state, and it is because he has remedied and run some of, if not the cleanest elections in the entire country. And it's been amazing to see some of the measures that he has employed within Ohio's elections to make it so clean. And we're going to talk about some of those things that I think should be expanded to all 50 states. But Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Amanda. Thanks for those kind words. And listen, it's an honor to do this work. We run honest elections in Ohio, and then we let the people decide, and we respect what they have to say.
Gosh, isn't that strange? I that's such a novel idea to just let the American people decide.
Amen. Well, that's what we do. And honestly, that work's done in Ohio by bipartisan teams. It's Democrats and Republicans working together that run our elections. As we were just talking about off air, I just got done meeting with a group of them. We're doing regional readiness conferences. And this comes from my time in the military, I guess. But, you know, as an Army Green Beret, when we train for a mission, it's not like some Hollywood montage where you just grab guns and jump in trucks and go shoot bad guys. That's what it looks like on a movie. Really, planning for a mission is a lot of time at a dry erase board. It's thinking through everything that could keep you from accomplishing your mission. The helicopter won't fly. The radios won't transmit. The guns jam. The bomb sniffing dog breaks a leg, whatever it might be. And then putting in place a backup plan so you can work through any of those kind of things. Well, the same kind of care applies to running an election. It's a huge logistical undertaking, running a presidential election. We've got 30,000 elections officials running that on election day at 3,000 different voting locations throughout the state. And so right now, in the late part of April, is when we're working through making sure that we've got our act together so that we're not caught flat-footed when something does go wrong, because invariably something will go wrong, a paper shortage, a weather incident, or maybe something more nefarious where someone's intentionally trying to cause harm to our elections. We're going to be ready for it because we do our work ahead of time.
Yeah. What is it? They say measure twice and cut once. It sounds like you guys are measuring over and over again.
That's the old carpenter's adage, right? Yeah. Measure twice and cut once. Or, you know, this goes back to my time in the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared.
Be prepared.
And
that's right.
Ohio's elections officials have been in the past, and in the 2024 cycle, once again, are going to be prepared.
I love that. What do you foresee some of the biggest issues arising? Because, you know, we've seen issues. I'm out here in California, but just one state over in Arizona, running out of paper, using Sharpies instead of pens, which I don't know if that even ever was a legitimate concern. But, you know, it speaks to the grander issue that you know, things happen. What do you expect some of those things that can possibly come across your path?
You know, it's everything from the routine things like paper and pens and machines. We had a special election in Ohio last August, and we learned from talking to other elections officials around the country that when you have an August election or a midsummer election, sometimes even something like the humidity in the air can cause the paper to swell, and it can cause jams going through the scanner. Something nobody would think of, right? Unless you did the work ahead of time. Just the logistics of how do you cut open tens of thousands of envelopes and have them ready to count on time on election night. One of the reasons why Ohio has our results done on election night and we're not taking days to count our ballots is we cut open all those envelopes ahead of time. We proof them. We check the signatures, verify the last four of the social, date of birth, all of that, so that right when the polls close at 7:30 on election night, we can start counting those absentee ballots instead of, you know, like in Pennsylvania and in some other states like in Arizona, where they're still cutting them open on Wednesday and Thursday. Right. And that's the kind of thing that you just got to plan for ahead of time. But then again, there are other concerns that are perhaps a bit more nefarious. There's false information out there. And we need to make sure that Ohioans have the accurate information. There's the classic, you know, election day has been moved to Wednesday. Well, people know better than that kind of thing. But false information spreads around on social media. We need to be prepared to make sure that Ohioans have accurate information. So it's a lot of things to think about. But again, we're going to be ready.
Awesome. I love that. Okay. I want to move on to something that a lot of listeners might be surprised to know, the level of influence that foreigners can have on our elections. And it is illegal for a non-US citizen to vote or to donate directly to a candidate or a campaign. But I don't know if a lot of Americans realize the level at which non-citizens, particularly this Hans Jörg Weiss guy, this Swiss George Soros sounding fella who lives in Wyoming, donated over $200 million to various organizations. He's donated $475 million since the founding of his own organization in 1998, using this to sway elections. And Senate Republicans have introduced a bill to ban that, which seems to me like that's a day late and a dollar short. We should have done this literally decades ago. But this has something to do with what you are also trying to do in Ohio, right?
Absolutely. And first of all, I want to thank you all for your good reporting on this. I know that Just the News has been reporting on this. Your colleague, Natalia, was reporting on it, I believe. And I think you guys have been talking about it. This is something that really all Americans should want to address. This shouldn't be a partisan thing. I noticed it's a handful of Republican senators that are working on this. It's shameful that their Democratic colleagues haven't joined them as co-sponsors of this. And we found the same thing occurring in Ohio. So, yes, as you mentioned, it's long been prohibited for foreign citizens to contribute to candidates. But what Hans-Jörg Weiss and other, you know, millionaires and billionaires from other countries have figured out is that if they give money to these nonprofits, those nonprofits can transfer it to another nonprofit. It's this shell game. I call it political money laundering. They found ways to move money around, and it goes through these shadowy groups like Arabella Advisors and others. But the net result is you've got wealthy foreigners who are funding liberal causes in the United States. We saw it in Ohio just last year. This radical pro-abortion amendment passed. It had tens of millions of dollars of funding behind it. And as it turns out, some of it came from this, you know, shady, nefarious foreign billionaire from Switzerland who has no business involving himself in American politics. And listen, if he wants to become a U.S. citizen, go to the back of the line, go through the process, start paying U.S. taxes. If you're a U.S. citizen, you can contribute, but not a foreign national. This loophole needs to be closed. We've worked to get introduced legislation here in Ohio at the state level to do this. But you're right. It really needs to happen at the federal level. And this Hans-Jörg Weiss guy, it goes even deeper than him funding political campaigns. As it turns out, he's involved in funding these like dark money Democrat propaganda efforts, these fake news sites that pass themselves off as real journalists, but really all they are is Democrat propaganda. Well, you wonder, they're not selling advertising. They don't have a subscription. How do they afford all these people on their payroll? Well, it's people like Hans-Jörg Weiss that are funding them. And again, too many unwitting Ohioans read this and think it's real news, but really it's, again, just leftist propaganda.
What do you imagine is the motivation for people like this? I mean, this guy is Swiss. He doesn't care enough about this country to become a citizen. Same thing with George Soros. What is the motivation for these foreigners to get involved? Is it to destroy our country?
It might be that. It's arrogance. These are guys that have more money they could ever spend in their entire lives. And they arrogantly think that they deserve to put their thumb on the scale. Like, listen, if you're a liberal Swiss billionaire and you want to be involved in things in your home country, fine, have at it, but stay out of our business. I think he's, yeah. These guys want to remake the world in their own image and that kind of thing. But you're right. I think that there may be even more nefarious motives than that. I think some of these guys legitimately want to harm the United States of America. This is why, regardless of motives, we shouldn't be allowing it to happen here in this country.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been disgusting to see. And I think that so many Americans, think that there's not really a lot of foreign influence in our elections and even other elections. I mean, let's face it, Barack Obama kind of set the stage for meddling in other countries, elections. Ukraine, probably most notably, but Macedonia, Egypt, Israel, a number of elections. So thank you so much for discussing that and protecting Ohioans. I think that the things that you have done in Ohio should be spread nationwide. And it kind of seems like Donald Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson agree with you, because they recently put out, these proposals for election integrity. And it kind of seems like they have used what you have done in Ohio as a prototype. Tell us about it.
I think that's it's a great thing to see. And listen, I was proud to be the only Secretary of State in America to earn President Trump's endorsement in 2022. I think that says something. I remember an interaction I had with him. I was just honored to be there at the base of the steps of Air Force One when he came to visit Ohio. And one of those pinch me moments, like, what is this, you know, kid from Copley, Ohio, doing greeting the president when he arrives? But when he did, I said, hey, Mr. President, my job's to keep the elections honest in Ohio. Well, he slapped me on the back and said, well, you damn sure better. And that's exactly what we have done. Listen, the ideas that President Trump and Speaker Johnson were sharing here just recently are things that we've been doing in Ohio for a long time, like removing non-citizens from the voter rolls, checking. We do this on an annual basis in Ohio to find out if there are any non-citizens who have become registered to vote. And guess what? We find a small number, a couple hundred, usually out of 8 million registered voters. So it's a small number, but it's not insignificant. And guess what? We refer them to law enforcement for prosecution because it's a crime. And a law that's not enforced isn't really a law. It's a suggestion. And so if you mess around in Ohio, you will find out. If you try to register to vote or vote as a non-citizen, we will catch you and you will face the penalty for doing that, which, by the way, includes deportation if you're convicted of a felony. And so this is something that we take seriously. But it goes beyond that, too. There's a bill in Congress right now called the ACE Act, American Confidence in Elections. We worked with members of Congress to get that written. It has over 200.
Is that Loudermilk, I think, who introduced that?
I believe so. Yeah. And a bunch of others. There's 200 co-sponsors. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Even if it passes the House, it'll die in the Senate because Schumer and company don't think election integrity is important. I believe that we'll have a Senate majority of Republicans next year. And I believe that Donald Trump will be in the White House. And when we do, passing the ACE Act should be a high priority and getting that to the president's desk. Here's the funny thing. Once it passes, it'll change very little about the way Ohio runs elections because it's modeled largely off of what we do here in Ohio. And of course, we've got room for improvement, too, just like anybody. And that's why we're working with our state legislature on a few good ideas, like strengthening my ability to remove people from the voter rolls when they move out of state, for example. Right now, we have to wait 6 years after somebody moves out of state, even though we know that they've moved out of state. So things like that, we need to improve as well. But again, we're always leaning forward to make sure that Ohioans have elections that are, well, where it's easy to vote and hard to cheat, as we like to say.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would just say, I think that Chuck Schumer, I don't know if he necessarily sees it as unimportant as far as election integrity. I think it's actually dangerous to what they want to do, because it seems like with everything, you know, you look at what happened in 2020 and all of the shenanigans that Democrats pulled and the polling for President Trump this time around certainly makes it seem like whatever Democrats did in 2020, they're going to have to amp it up even bigger this time. So speaking of people who can vote, let's talk about who can be on the ballot in Ohio. And as of right now, it's not Joe Biden. This is, I guess, a legal technicality. I think it will be remedied. But what's up with Joe Biden, the president, not being on the ballot?
Well, here's the thing. You know, the liberals in Ohio and nationally are calling it a technicality. It's our state law, right? And it's been our state law for a long time. So when they encounter a law they don't like, they call it a technicality. But my duty, my job, the oath that I've taken is to follow the law. As an executive office holder, my job is to execute the law faithfully as it's written. And guess what? The law that I'm faithfully carrying out was written by Democrats in 2009, when Ohio had a Democratic governor and a Democratic state House of Representatives. All the Democrats put in place a law that says that you've got to pick your candidate for president 90 days before the election. And that means both parties have to notify the Secretary of State 90 days before the election. It's not unreasonable. That falls on August 7th. That deadline existed in state law for the last couple decades. Well, guess what? The Democrats that planned their convention must not have noticed that, because they scheduled their convention for the 19th through the 22nd of August. Now, here's what happened. Following the primary election this year, we were sitting down with my team and we were going very meticulously through all the deadlines and timelines. And as we were doing that, I said, wait a second, guys, August 7th, somebody check and see when the Democratic convention is. I don't plan on attending, so I wasn't aware of that date. We Googled it and I was like, wow, I need to notify them of this because their nominating convention happens after our deadline. Wouldn't it be a nice thing to do for me to just let them know that? Well, no good deed goes unpunished. Right. If I was truly looking to play games, I would have waited until the day after the deadline. I would have published the form of the ballot, which is the official notice to the boards of elections of what the ballot will look like. And there would have been one candidate on it. And that would be the candidate whose party is having their convention early enough to meet Ohio's deadline. Now, I notified the Democratic chairman and the Democratic leaders in Ohio. You guys have a problem here, but all of a sudden it must be me and my fault that I'm, you know, some mean and nasty partisan by following the laws in the state of Ohio. I do hope they get this worked out. As conservatives, we believe in competition, and I know that we can compete and win. And so, you know, I do hope that that they get their act together over there at the DNC and figure out how to nominate their candidate for us or work with our state legislature to adjust the deadline. Those are really the two choices they have.
Yeah, gosh, it's I don't know if it's incompetence because I don't feel like Democrats do anything unintentionally. But you got to wonder. OK, I want to move
I think it might have been in this case. They've got like offices full of lawyers that focus on what's called ballot access. And yeah. So somebody has some splaining to do because they've been collecting their salary as a DNC lawyer and didn't even notice that it's not just Ohio, by the way. There's several other states that have a deadline before their convention as well.
Well, I got to wonder if they thought, well, with Secretary Frank LaRose controlling elections in Ohio, we're going to lose it anyway.
Well, back to the beginning, though, as I said, we're going to let the people of Ohio decide. But I think that Ohioans are common sense, smart people. I think President Trump's going to do well here. But either way, we're going to run an honest election and let the people make their choice.
Amen. OK, I want to talk to you about, you know, kind of this shift in mentality among Republicans. Obviously, it coincides pretty closely with a change in leadership at the RNC. We've now got Michael Whatley, who seems to really embrace excitement for early voting and ballot harvesting where it's legal. Some of these tactics that Democrats have employed. And I know that there are a lot of traditionalists out there. There are a lot of people who love to show up on election day. And I'm one of those people. I am a Republican purist. I love going through the pomp and circumstance of showing up on the day and getting my sticker. The early voting initiatives, it seems to me, are not for people like me. It is for people who aren't inclined to show up. Because here in California, this is a perfect example. In LA County, we have literally millions of registered Republican voters who just don't show up. They've got multiple jobs. They've got kids they have to take to school. Whatever the case may be, they can't show up. What are your thoughts on these initiatives for Republicans going forward with early voting, absentee voting, ballot harvesting? Do you think that it's a good thing, at least until we can get the rules changed back to one day?
Well, to be clear, if your state allows ballot harvesting, you should work to outlaw it. We don't allow that in Ohio. It's a terrible thing.
Yes,
there's a lot
is.
Of ways it can go wrong. But if the rules of your state allow it, then use it. Use it
legally. Yeah, Democrats are doing it.
Absolutely. And so this is where this is smart. Listen, the rules of the game of football allow you to score three ways. You can run, you can pass, or you can kick. Now, if I was a football coach and said this whole season, we're going to go out on the field and we're only going to score points by running, we're not going to pass or kick, we would lose. That's foolish. As a party, if the rules of the game allow you to score through early voting, absentee voting, or election day voting, you've got to do all three of those. And there are reasons why, right? People get a flat tire on election day. People get sick on election day. I think of my grandparents who live independently at 92 years old. God bless them, lifelong Republicans, but they don't get around so well. They really like voting absentee. They vote from their kitchen table. My grandma will call me and say, now, which judge is the conservative? And so but you can do that when you vote absentee from home. You can take the time it takes to really be an informed voter. And in Ohio, you can do things like track your absentee ballot. So I've had some people say, well, I put it in the mail. How do I know that it arrived at the Board of Elections? We'll actually send you a text message in Ohio and let you know in most counties that your absentee ballot has arrived. Even in the counties that don't have the texting, you can go on the website and see voteohio.gov/track. and you can see that your absentee ballot has arrived. And so you'll know well in advance of Election Day that your vote is going to be counted. And you're right. That civic experience of going out on Election Day cannot be matched. The neighbors, you know, we've got some of our polling locations where the ladies from the church have a potluck or a bake sale or whatever in the lobby. I mean, it's a great thing. But yeah, if you want to vote absentee or if you want to vote early, take advantage of it, because we can't afford to leave any points, you know, off the board this right. fall.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I want to close asking you about what you are about to do, where you are about to tour. But before we do that, I want to ask you a little bit of foreign policy, because you are an Army reservist, you were a Green Beret. And I saw news over the weekend that the Biden administration is pulling 1,000 troops from North Africa, which if you exist in the terrorism hub and you know a lot about it, we are now, you know, not only we're dealing with Hamas and Hezbollah and Houthis. Now, I guess we're going to add Al-Shabaab, Ansar al-Sharia, Boko Haram.
Haram, which cuts the heads off of little girls because they go to school. Yeah, these are bad actors. And this is just another example of weakness by the Biden regime. This airbase has been, you know, the result of millions and millions of dollars of investment because of the changing political dynamic in that country. Now, all of a sudden, we've got our airmen just kind of bottled up on this base, not able to operate. Meanwhile, the Russians are engaging robustly and supporting their proxies in the region. You know what? We are and have been for a long time now a global superpower. It's about time we start acting like it again. And again, that doesn't mean that we get involved in places where it's not our business, but where there is a strategic American national interest at stake, we need to get involved. The Biden administration has led with weakness in the Middle East. That's why Iran gave the green light to their proxies to attack Israel. That's why the Houthi rebels are tying up the entire shipping channel through the Red Sea. And again, the problems go on and on, not to mention in the Pacific theater with the saber rattling from China as it relates to Taiwan. The Biden administration is making the world a more dangerous place because of their weakness.
Yeah, it's disheartening to see. All right, but let's bring it back close to home and end on something positive. Tell us what you're about to do.
So this is exciting for Ohio. There was an announcement last year that Intel, the microchip company, is building their largest fabrication facility to date here in Ohio. It was last year the biggest economic development announcement in the world. It's one of the largest construction sites on the planet. And I'm going to get the chance in a few minutes to go and visit this. This has strategic implications as well, because right now the United States relies heavily on foreign microchip manufacturers, companies like TSMC in Taiwan. Well, if again, microchips go into everything from your smartphone to your toaster oven to missile systems that defend our nation and our allies. And so having this capacity to build these here in Ohio with American ingenuity and hard work, not only that, but contributing to our economy here in the heartland, is a great thing. You've heard of Silicon Valley. They've been calling this the Silicon Heartland here in Ohio, and we're proud of that. It's not just this couple of fabrication facilities that Intel is building, but it's the entire ecosystem around it. It's working with great universities like Ohio's flagship university, The Ohio State University, that we're very proud of, to build up the academic capacity for the next generation of chip designers and process engineers and that kind of thing. This is a great thing for Ohio. And so keep an eye on the Buckeye State. We're growing here again because of smart conservative leadership.
I love that. So many great things happening in Ohio. And, you know, it starts with clean elections. And Mr. Secretary, you have done such an incredible job. It's clear that you've done an incredible job, because the 45th president and, God willing, the 47th president of the United States basically gave you the gold stamp or the gold seal of approval, because he endorsed all of your ideas for, you know, propagation nationwide. So, Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for being here. Have a great time on that tour.
Thanks so much, Amanda. Take care.
Man, I just love hearing folks like Secretary LaRose, because it's so clear that he loves what he does. He loves fighting for the people of Ohio. He loves fighting for their voices to be heard. You know, he obviously falls on the conservative side of the aisle, but with respect to elections, he just wants the voices and the people of Ohio to decide what happens. And it is so apparent that that integrity works its way not only in his personal life, but into his professional life as well. So we are honored to have him on the program. We are going to take another quick commercial break and we'll be back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back, everybody, to Furthermore with Amanda Head. As many of you know, I live in beautiful California, and let's face it, 95% of California is beautiful. The parts that everyone hates are Los Angeles and San Francisco that have turned into, a little bit of a dumpster fire. Although there's still value in these places, as I've spoken about before. I stay here in California because I think that California is not only savable, it is worthy of saving. And so that's what we're going to try to do. One district at a time, one seat at a time, and ultimately make our way to Sacramento and take it over and snatch back the super blue majority from the jaws of destruction, because that is what they are doing in this state. So I am very excited to bring in Ted Norblum. If you watch my TV show with John Solomon, you have seen him on our show before. He is running here in California. He is running for the same reasons that I live in California, because it's worth saving. Ted, don't you agree?
I agree. Totally agree, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay. I want to go ahead and plug your website and your socials and everything, because of all of the folks who are running in California, I think that you are probably the one, your campaign is the one to watch. So take the floor, give everybody all of your coordinates.
Well, thank you. Ted Norblum running for state assembly in District 42, which is Simi Valley to Malibu and Camarillo to Bel Air. So it's a big district. I'm going against a five-time incumbent. I am within 1 point in Ventura County, which is 70% of my district. So we have a chance of flipping the seat. I've got attention of a lot of people. Rick Grinnell's looking at this seat. Yeah. A lot of people are saying this is a targeted seat now where it wasn't before. But I think people are hungry for change. If you go to my website, it's just my name, tednordblum.com. People can volunteer. They can donate. I need to raise money. I hate to say it, to compete. My opponent will spend $1.5 million against me. And I don't need that kind of money, but we just need enough money to get the messaging out and just get to the people and do our grassroots.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you specifically about Malibu. Malibu or pieces of Malibu are within your assembly district. And we were talking before we came to air about Pacific Palisades and some of these areas, Brentwood, that are very affluent, a lot of celebrities, very, very wealthy. I mean, I don't even think you can rent an apartment there for less than $5,000. But Ted, you know, as you and I discussed, hell comes to pay even to the doorsteps of the rich and wealthy, or of the wealthy and the famous. And, you know, I remember a few years ago, sometime around Christmas, there was a music mogul who was hosting a Christmas cocktail party at his house. And someone came to their door and fired on his wife. And I do believe she died. She was in her 80s. And this is the type of stuff, you know, when we say it will eventually come to your doorstep, it literally will come to your doorstep. And I want to ask you specifically about Malibu, because we had some family in town recently and we were showing them the beautiful sights of California and Los Angeles. And Malibu is one of those areas. And for the first time, I saw some American flags on some of those beautiful beachfront properties in Malibu. And you know, as well as I do, that when you see an American flag on someone's porch, there's about an 80% chance that they are on our side of things. But that was the first time I saw it. And I just have to wonder if that is what we normally talk about as far as the chickens coming home to roost. What do you think?
Well, as far as Malibu goes, in that Pacific Palisades, it's a 70% Democrat. But like you said, they're feeling the same effects that everybody's feeling, especially the middle class and the poor. Prop 13 is a huge, huge issue for California. And if we lose Prop 13 in November, it's on the ballot. This is going to affect everybody. Also, you know, people have these houses, these $14 million homes.
Tell everybody what Prop 13 is quickly.
Prop 13 is the Howard Jarvis property tax that was passed in 1978. And basically, it just protected people from getting their property taxes raised. So if you bought your house in 1970 for $40,000, you're basically paying property taxes on that $40,000. If we lose Prop 13, they will do a reassessment of that property, which can be now $800,000 to $1 million. Now your property taxes could go up 5-6 times, which people won't be able to afford, especially those on fixed incomes. Where it affects the people in Malibu is commercial real estate will be affected. They'll be reassessed. So people bought investment properties, you know, 20 years ago for $1 million. Now it's assessed at $4 million. Now you can be paying property taxes on that $4 million. Now that all what happens with that is that gets passed on to the renters or the leasers because they have to raise their rates and their rents.
Of course.
And then they can't afford it. So now you're going to start losing an exodus of people. The middle class will be destroyed over this. Art Laffer, an economist for Ronald Reagan, I saw him a few months ago, goes, the one breathing hole that California has is Prop 13. If you lose that, you guys will become West Virginia in a matter of weeks, meaning property values will be cut down 50% or more, and people will be forced to sell or just walk away from the houses. It will destroy our economy. The other thing we have to watch out for is ACA 1. They want to take our constitutional amendment of 67%, which normally to pass these laws, and they want to lower it down to 55%. This, I don't understand why the Democrats are doing this. They've been doing it for 20 years, trying to get rid of Prop 13, but this will devastate our economy. And this is going to affect everybody. I don't care if you're left, right, whatever. This is a human issue. We need to stop it.
Absolutely. Okay. So thank you so much for that explanation.
Sure.
Because I'll be honest, I had kind of a surface level understanding of it, but you really got into the details. And I think that's important because, you know, people look at California and California, frankly, is where terrible policies are birthed. And unfortunately, they spread across the country like wildfire. Speaking of that, I want to talk about homelessness. Obviously, we have a terrible homelessness crisis. I remember from 1 2-year term to the next for Adam Schiff, there was an explosion of homelessness. I think it was 2019 to 2020, but it was like a 16% increase in homelessness. It was absolute insanity. And now we just saw this KTLA report that came out that an audit of the California Interagency on Homelessness just completely lost track of $24 billion. They have no idea how it was spent. And Ted, you know, as well as I do, you know, I'm over here in Burbank, and we used to think of homelessness as just a Skid Row issue. And then it grew to, you know, Boyle Heights, and then it grew to Hollywood. And now it is seeping out into every community, including places like Burbank, which used to be the sleepy little hillside, you know, suburb of where all the garbage was.
Right. Well, look, this is a total failure by Gavin Newsom. When he ran in 2008 as mayor, he goes, I will clean up homelessness in 10 years. Not only has he not cleaned it up, he's actually, we're 5 times more homeless than we did back then. Right now, we're over at 180,000 homeless people, and we're giving them all debit cards, we're giving them phones, we give them all these entitlements. So they're coming from all over the country to California, and we simply can't afford it. And now we have the illegal immigration problem where they're getting money and phones and they want to give all these entitlements.
And healthcare.
And healthcare. Yeah, we can't get that as citizens. This state is we're overtaxed, we're overburdened, and they're just taking so much from the middle class and small businesses, which are closing across the state too, because who can afford $20 an hour for employees? This is not what it was designed for. Gavin Newsom, the Democrats, and the legislation have failed this state miserably. They've had that supermajority for 32 years and nothing has gotten better. So people, this is more red. The state is more red. Don't get into the thing where it's blue. We don't have a chance. It doesn't matter. That's what they want you to do. They want to dumb you down and keep you from voting. If we get out and vote, like we had a 40% turnout in the primary. If I get a 60%, 70% turnout, we win. We flip states. We could just change this whole state and get rid of all this useless waste and spending. Our economy since 2011 has, our state budget has quadrupled. It was 98 billion. We're up to 330 billion. And what we 73 billion in the whole this fiscal year. And it's only April. Yeah. It's a total failure. They have no idea what they're doing. And they need to be replaced by people with common sense values and ideas. And we can fix this in a matter of months. We just need to vote them out.
Yeah. I heard a statistic when I moved to Los Angeles, and I found it unbelievable, but it is true, that Los Angeles County has more registered Republicans than any other state, with the exception of New York. Like any other state. It's incredible. County, and you're right. These people don't show up. And just some advice to people out there. If your birthday happens to fall on November 5th of this year on the general election day, Ted, I had some friends who are on our side of the aisle on everything, and they weren't showing up for the elections on Super Tuesday. It happened to be my birthday. So I finally got some of my friends who never show up to vote to actually vote as a birthday present for me. So anybody out there, if you're a conservative in California or anywhere and your birthday is November 5th, use that to get people to go out and vote. Tell them they don't have to buy you a bottle of wine. They don't have to buy you a present to just go vote. Because Ted, how do we incentivize people? Now, this is something that the RNC has spoken about, and there are a lot of traditional Republican purists out there who don't want to do early voting. They don't want to do mail-in voting. They don't want to do vote harvesting or ballot harvesting. And I get that because I'm a traditionalist as well. However, we have to play the game with the rules that have been laid out before us. And as of right now, especially in California, all of that stuff is legal. So it seems to me that for us, for those low propensity voters, those are the ones who we need to target with the easy method of voting. You get it in the mail. Just go. So for you, how does that play into your campaign? Or can you go? I mean, I think legally you can't go collect the ballots, but you can have surrogates who do that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We plan on that. And a lot of the misconception, I know a lot of people like to vote on voting day, but we're saying if you got your votes and you got your ballots, we can come and pick them up. We want to get that early voting in as soon as possible. And the reason is that during the primary, I was down like 16 points because Democrats do their early mail-in ballots. And then I was down to 6 points. Okay. And then it just got continued. But as it comes in, we want to start earlier than later if we can. And I'm not saying mail it. We don't want to mail the ballots because we don't want to go through the post office. But there are drop boxes. You can go to your church. I know we have one out here at Calvary that we have drop boxes that you can actually put them in. We will come to people's homes, my volunteers, and pick them up for you if you want. And then we actually drive them down to the county clerk. We just bypass the U.S. Postal Service. So, but we need to get out in volume. We need to get out there. We need people to get. Don't get complacent right now. I know we had the primary and everybody kind of is like, oh, I'm not ready yet. Now's the time. We got to keep the foot on the pedal and we got to go through to November. 6 months is going to fly by and we just need all the help and we need to get the grassroots going. So volunteers, I've got about 50 volunteers right now. We'll start knocking on doors pretty soon. But I need to raise money for mailers and all that kind of stuff because it's the social media stuff that's going to help us and win and just knocking on doors, but actually getting people excited about it because we need to flip this state. And there's a lot of red. I think we're more red than blue. I think our blue is like San Francisco, Sacramento, and LA. But the rest of the state is actually red. So if we get out and vote, we can flip these seats. And we need 9 seats in the legislature to stop the supermajority statewide. And I think that's achievable this time.
Yeah. Everybody go check him out at tednordblum.com. He's running for state assembly 42 here in California. All right. Let's move on to the 5.3% unemployment rate. Now, when I moved to California, I had a lot of friends. I still do have a lot of friends in the entertainment industry, and they call it being fun employed. Now, it is fun employed if you're one of those people who makes, you know, $80,000 for 3 episodes of a show. But for the rest of us, when you're unemployed, it's not unemployed. So talk to us about the unemployment rate and some of those policies that they enacted up in Sacramento to make it so.
Okay. Well, California now is number one in unemployment now in the country.
Yay.
Yay. So that means more people are going to be on collecting unemployment. Yep. Then we also have the illegal immigration. And we also have the homeless. This is going to become such a burden on our state budget and on the people. And what they want to do is just keep raising taxes to solve the problem. They create the problem. Then they say, get me elected, give me your money, and I'll solve it. And it never gets solved. So there's just a lot of things we got to do. You got to understand, we're number one in poverty in California. We're number one in homelessness in California. We're last in education now. We passed Mississippi. We're 50th now. So every policy is a failure in California. And people just need to wake up and go, stop voting for the letter and start voting for the policies. And there's a lot of great candidates now in California. Like you said earlier in your opening, California is worth saving. It's worth fighting for because whatever happens here, if we don't, this is like ground zero for us. whatever happens here, if they continue with these bad policies, eventually it's going to go across the rest of the country, maybe in 10, 20 years. And it's like a cancer cell. We got to kill the cancer, get rid of it and save it. And it starts here in California. So with all the unemployment, all the other stuff, the crime and this, we just got bad policymakers up in Sacramento. And also the other thing is that you have to understand, I think it's like a, they passed 990 bills were signed on January 1st by Gavin Newsom. It's like diarrhea of legislation. It's like they make up all this stuff and all this legislation. And I bet you, you and I don't even know what 897 of those new laws are in January. And in the last 3 years, they passed, they've signed into law 2,700 bills. 2,700 bills. It's over-legislated. It's so easy. And they're not focusing on the things that are important, like crime, inflation, employment, and all those issues. So he's a complete failure here.
That's absolutely. And you brought up education. So that brings to mind the bill that was passed regarding parents who don't affirm the gender of their children and that information being able to be processed in court and used against that person in child custody hearings. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a representative representing the Santa Clarita area, I think. And he said, you know, I used to tell people to stay in California and fight for California. But after the passage of this bill, he's like, I'm telling people, if you have kids, you need to flee because this will absolutely destroy your family. And Ted, it seems like, you know, especially in these liberal pockets of California, like Los Angeles and San Francisco, it's actually become trendy to have a kid who is gender fluid or trans or binary. And Ted, I'm concerned that that is going to infect all of California because let's face it, kids are impressionable. They want to fit in. And even if they grow up with conservative parents, obviously that's great. At the same time, they are still influenced by their friend group.
The whole transgender and all the, you know, just the grooming and all that stuff, it needs to stop. I know Shannon Grove is looking to pass. There's a law they're trying to pass about if you purchase a child in, you know, say in California as a misdemeanor and try to make it a felony. It's like, where does the common sense go? Or why do you even have to have a bill to make it a felony? It should be a felony. It should be imprisonment. There should be a lot of things that they're just not doing. The parental rights issue is huge, huge, huge. And I think a lot of parents, you know, the one good thing out of COVID is that parents woke up because they found out what their children weren't learning and what they're doing. And they're trying to make normalize it. It's all normalizing the pedophilia, normalizing the groomers. You never see a drag queen show in a senior citizen home. They're always in an elementary school or a library. So they're trying to normalize it. And I think the parents and the people of California are tired of it. We're tired of the woke. And it's going to change because we're no longer tolerating this. And we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. Really good. We're going to change all of it. So we're going to get California back again and get just back to basic morals, ethics, and our values of Americans. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. What's your hope for even the blue pockets? Because we saw San Francisco recalled their DA, Chesa Boudin. Down here in Los Angeles, we tried to recall George Gascon, and that unfortunately fizzled out. But Chesa Boudin gave me hope. Now, I don't know if that was a controlled explosion by Democrats because they knew things were getting just way too bad. But you've got Oakland that has now installed, I think, like 500 cameras to combat crime. Maybe common sense is coming back into purview a little bit in these blue strongholds.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think people are waking up and it's not a left or right issue. This is a human issue about the future of our civilization, our society. So like, which direction do we want to go? Unfortunately, I feel like we're a socialist communist state already. And I think people don't want that. We're losing our freedoms. I mean, you see what's going around the country and what's happening, you know, even with Trump right now with these allegations and all that, too. But we got to fix this. It's just it's down to the core. And I think the Democrats, when I'm out there talking to people, the Democrats, the only issue they give me is like, are you voting for Trump? I'm like, I'm focused on California. There's so many more issues to focus on. It's like, we got crime and homeless and this. I go, these are the issues I'm focusing on in California for our district because I represent everybody in California, even though I'm running in this certain district. But those are the issues we need to focus on. And if we just get the message out and the truth out, which we do, because it's like when I'm out there campaigning, I'm not really campaigning. I'm actually educating people and informing them on all the things that are going on, which they don't know. And then once they go, really, this is really happening? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, you got my vote. So we are turning them. I am getting Democrats and a lot of independents. They're voting for me. And I think that'll continue the trend to November. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Okay. So we've just got a few minutes left. So I want people to go to your website, tednordblum.com, but I want to give them a little bit of an incentive because at the top you were talking about, you know, how many points you are within. And I think it's important for people to hear that because they see the drive and they see that it's within striking distance. And that oftentimes incentivizes people to give money. Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So we need to raise a little bit of money. If you can donate $5 or $10, I know people are struggling financially and it's hard. If you can donate more, that's great because the money is going to go towards the social media. It's going to help me fight, you know, go after my opponent. Like I said, she has 1.5 million against me. She'll probably raise, and that's an astronomical amount of money for a job that pays $120,000 a year. It's not about the money. It showed it's about the power she wants to hold on to. But listen, just got to fight for California. There's so many, many good people out there and they're struggling and they, you know, I'm doing better than most Republican candidates in my district, but we need more. So volunteers, people can call them in the phone bank, or if you just tell people, get out your phone, call everybody in your phone and go, hey, can you pledge and donate $10 or $5 to this campaign? That will help us tremendously. And then we can start making the strides we can. We can flip this seat. California can go red. And I think this is the start of it. I think we're in a renaissance now of a new rebirth of our country and our state. And just people be excited about it and don't give up, just pray. And then guess what? Like I said, in the end, God wins.
Amen. 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 As I always say, and it's because my father-in-law always says that the king has not moved 1 millimeter off the throne. We know how the story ends and we just want to, you know, make a difference in the meantime. So everybody go check him out at tednordblum.com. Again, he's running for Assembly District 42 in California. But even if you don't live in California, these are issues that will unfortunately spread like wildfire if we don't stop them here in California. Ted, I applaud you for your efforts. I applaud you for staying here and fighting for California.
Thanks, Amanda.
And we'll be keeping an eye on your campaign.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. God bless you.
Same to you. All right, everybody. We're going to be back with more here on Furthermore with Amanda Head. We'll take a little bit of a break, listen to some commercials, and we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, everybody, I just want to pick apart a few of the things that these folks have talked about. Let's start with Secretary Frank LaRose. So obviously here in California, I don't honestly know the last time we had clean elections. Maybe sometime during or prior to the governor getting elected. That was the last time we had a Republican governor, Schwarzenegger. And since then, Democrats have seized on the supermajority that they have up in Sacramento and have done some really, really disgusting things. And one of the things that I discussed with Ted Nordblum, so KTLA, they lean left, I suppose, but they actually are pretty good on the local issues. And you'll find that across the spectrum, with affiliates like ABC and NBC and even Fox News to some degree. They've obviously got their national corporations, but then you get on the local level and they seem to actually do a little bit better job of reporting the news. Now, of course, they are reporting local and state news, so you're not going to get your national news. You're not typically going to get your Capitol Hill coverage, but they do seem to be a little bit more honest. So KTLA reported on this audit, to determine how the California Interagency on Homelessness spent upwards of $24 billion. And when I first got involved in politics, like really got involved, I quit the music industry. I came over to politics. Obviously, Adam Schiff was already in office as my representative at the time. I was living in Hollywood, and that is part of his district. I no longer live in Hollywood because it's basically a cesspool. And, you know, it might have been fun at the time when I was a single gal, but now life is real. And I don't want to live in that party atmosphere, the party former party atmosphere that has now turned into just complete bum town. Anyway, I still live in Adam Schiff's district. And I remember the first time that I started actually paying attention to the numbers pertaining to homelessness within Adam Schiff's district. In 1 year, homelessness went up 16%. And that is a very, very large margin when you have a city like Los Angeles, especially when there's such a stark contrast between some of these municipalities that exist within Los Angeles County. So you have LA County and you have, for instance, my address when I lived in Hollywood. Hollywood is not a municipality. It's not, you know, a bona fide city. So my address was Los Angeles, California. There are municipalities within Los Angeles, like Burbank, like Beverly Hills, that are their own city. So those own cities who are able to have their own police departments, and they can pass, you know, local legislation so that they can protect their cities against homelessness. Here in Burbank, we've got, I don't know, maybe two or three homeless folks. Same thing in Beverly Hills. In fact, I think Beverly Hills has close to zero. But practically everywhere else in Los Angeles, homelessness has absolutely exploded. And in California as a whole, 180,000 homeless people. So $24 billion allotted to take care of these people, to help find them permanent housing, to help get them into rehab facilities, to help, you know, find jobs, gainful employment, anything like that. And $24 billion just poof, just gone, absolutely gone. No one can account for it. And it's obvious because the number of homelessness in California just it keeps going up. So obviously nothing they are doing is actually helping. And you look at some of these other liberal policies, the one that I talked about with Ted Norblom about Prop 13, reassessing home values. You know, homes are extremely important to the fiber of this country. Private property was one of the most important aspects of our founding fathers' ideology in creating our nation, because they came from England, where even nobility didn't technically own the land. And our founding fathers saw that as supremely important to the mentality and the culture of Americans as far as what they wanted to contribute to this country. They owned something. They owned a stake in this country. They wanted to contribute. They wanted to be a part of society. They wanted to be involved in their government because they owned a piece of this country. And in the state of California, they really just want to quash that. And we know that because of Chinese influence in real estate in Hollywood across the board here in California. But we know that because of this Prop 13. If you know, as Ted said, if your parents or your grandparents owned a home in Encino and they bought it in the 1980s for, you know, $135,000 or $235,000, they passed it down to their children or their grandchildren. If Prop 13 passes, it's going to be reassessed in the city of Encino. Reminds me of Encino, man. Such a great movie. But in the city of Encino, that house that was purchased in the 1980s, 40 something years ago, for $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 is going to explode into the multi-millions at this point. And people can no longer afford them. So they sell them. And then it probably gets torn down. It turns into multifamily housing, and it just goes the way of the rest of California. And it's devastating to see. But again, you guys have to pay attention to what's happening in states like this as a warning that this could be coming to you. And I don't want to see any other state in this country turn into what Los Angeles has turned into. And I want to see Los Angeles turn into what other places in this country look like, and do a little bit of an about face. All right. On Frank LaRose, like I've said, he is doing incredible stuff in Ohio, and it is evidenced by that presser that President Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson gave with respect to election integrity nationwide. Practically everything that they proposed our items, our measures, our provisions that Secretary LaRose has employed in Ohio. And you look at the 2020 election and 2016, but 2020 most notably because of all the fraud that took place in other states, Ohio didn't have those problems. And it's because he has done just such an absolutely incredible job there in that state. All right, I actually want to close with a sports story because I found this to be heartening. I have felt like for a long time, for my generation as a millennial, this gender nonsense is the fight of our generation. This is something that we are going to have to really hone in on and bring warriors forth to fight this. But some of you might be familiar with Angel Reese. I believe she played, LSU. She's an LSU national champion. She was the first pick, I believe, in the WNBA draft last week. But anyway, she made a comment about this issue of men, biological men who quote unquote identify as females being in sports. And she just said something very, very simple on X. She said she urged her followers and anyone who reads her posts on the platform on X to protect young women in sports. And I think that she is pretty explicit. It really doesn't. This is the thing. What she said is all that needs to be said in any environment where this conversation is taking place. If you are having a conversation with a wacko liberal, you don't really even necessarily have to go into all the nuances of the legislation and Title IX and all of the arguments pro and against women. We should protect women. That's really all this is about. And if a dude is a dude, but he says he's a woman, he's not a woman, he's still a dude. And he doesn't belong in the sports arena with women. Bottom line, period. End of story. I cannot believe that these are conversations that we are having to have with some people in this day and age. It's just unbelievable. And I really, really hope that this is a driver in the November election, because if it is, if this is the social issue of our time, if this is the fight of my generation, I do think that the tide is changing. I do think that this has been a relatively quick turnaround as far as the Overton window sliding back in the direction of sanity just a little bit. All right, everybody, I appreciate you joining me today on Furthermore with Amanda Head. We're going to have another great episode up on Wednesday, but make sure you follow me across all social media at Amanda Head. And on X, we have our very own page for Furthermore. It's just Furthermore Pod. And if you want to find our website online, it's furthermorepodcast.com. Thank you all so much for joining me, and I will see you on Wednesday.